Mark Stein's Last Call.
I think the first Mike Longo album I ever bought was a jazz portrait of Funny Girl, from back in the days when as soon as a Broadway show opened, a group of jazz cats would go into the studio and do a cool jazz album of the entire score. He was a longtime musical director for Dizzy Gillespie and a terrific pianist in demand all over the world. Here's Mike Longo with a Rodgers and Hart song whose title seems somewhat appropriate for when the coronavirus sweeps in and overwhelms your town, as it did his, New York City. I didn't know what time it was. Grand to be alive, grand to see your face, feel your touch. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus, 3 days after his 83rd birthday, a great pianist, Mike Longo. For a couple of generations of Japanese, Ken Shimura was a prime-time fixture on national TV every weekend for years, and oh, how they laughed. Here he is as an English class teacher.
This is my father. This is my mother.
それじゃあ向こう英語通じないよお前早口通じないよもっとはっきり言ってもっとゆっくり
This is my mother
それマザーの発音があり This is my father
This is my
This is my father グーベリーグーだよ次言ってみて
If a little of that got lost in translation, here'sKen Shimura's comedy distilled to its essence. Ken emerges as a samurai warrior, ready to do battle with a noble and fearsome opponent in a duel of flatulence. He was scheduled to carry the Olympic torch at this summer's opening ceremonies in Tokyo, but he died of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 70, Ken Shimura. And as Ken was wont to say, Dafuna. Joachim Yombi Opango is the first former head of state to be killed by COVID-19. He was a Congolese strongman. That's the French Congo, Brazzaville, not Belgian. And a great survivor of Congolese politics, which is more than you can say for his predecessor, who got assassinated. Yombi Opango was the army chief of staff at the time and succeeded his late boss.
Yombi Opango led Congo Brazzaville from 1977 and was toppled in 1979.
Lorsque la constitution est violée, les démocrates ne doivent pas l'accepter.
Following charges that he was attempting to form a right-wing faction in the ruling left-wing party, the ex-president for life was further demoted from general to private, But Private Yombi Opango made a comeback.
He spent several years in prison before multi-party democracy was introduced in 1991 and served as prime minister until civil war broke out in 1997.
Etc., etc., etc. He was a Congolese strongman, but he wasn't strong enough to see off COVID-19. Dead at the age of 81, Joachim Yombi Opango. Born in 1911, Hilda Churchill was 7 years old when the Spanish flu began its sweep through her native England. It killed her little sister. But Hilda survived through the Great War and the Spanish flu and another war for another century.
I just remember fondly and warmth, you know, with plenty of warmth and love. And there won't be a day goes by, she won't be in my thoughts.
She beat the Spanish flu, but not the Chinese coronavirus. Dead just a few days before what would have been her 109th birthday, Hilda Churchill, the oldest victim of COVID-19 in the United Kingdom and possibly the world. Rodgers and Hart, I'm wise. I know what time it is now. Troy Sneed was a high school football star and hoped to continue that at Florida A&M. Instead, in his freshman year, a ligament injury put an end to his sports ambitions. And so one day on a whim, he went to his first choir rehearsal.
I'm believing that God is going to work a miracle in your life by the end of this song. No matter what situation you find yourself in right now, just know that all you have to do is leave it at the feet of Jesus, my brother and my sister. Listen. Bible says,
cast your cares upon him, he'll hear your call. Lay it down, lay it down.
Promised.
Promise he would never leave, not forsaken friend indeed. Lay it down, lay it down.
War cry.
Troy Sneed became a contemporary gospel star, a singer-songwriter who could put an album in the Billboard gospel charts. It's different from old-time gospel. These are songs in a contemporary vernacular and with the directness of pop hooks. Let me read the track listings of his top 10 album, All Is Well. I Know You Hear Me, In Your Presence, Have Your Way, God Will Show Up.
I won't let go, I won't give up, I'll stand right here till God shows up. Though I don't see him anywhere around, I believe he has plan for me.
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 52, contemporary gospel singer-songwriter Troy Sneed. A couple of weeks back, Media Matters in America, Pink News in the UK, and various others had a jolly good go at trying to take me out permanently for suggesting that compromised immune systems made gays particularly vulnerable to COVID-19. Apparently, that topic has joined an ever-lengthening list of things we're not permitted to talk about, which doesn't help in a pandemic. But in the soft-focused treatment of local tragedies, one can discern that something terrible is going on. Philip Chai and his husband Tony Brooks were married on a cruise ship in 2014 and lived in San Antonio, Texas, with Philip's widowed mother. Philip ran the Extreme Opulence Hair Studio, and Tony was a local councilman. All three contracted the coronavirus, but it was the younger two who wound up going to hospital. Or rather, hospitals. It was only when it became clear that neither would be coming home that the couple were placed in adjoining rooms in the same building.
Philip would never make it back home. His husband would soon join him in a San Antonio ICU. Tony had also been sick, but did not want to go to the ER, according to his brother-in-law. He was found unresponsive by Philip's mom, and days later ended up in a room right next to his husband.
I'm not sure how much of a consolation that is, to have your loved one on the other side of a wall and not to be able to touch or communicate. Philip died, and then 2 days later, so did Tony.
In our family, it was three people that got contracted COVID-19. And out of those three, two died.
Philip was sitting up and talking in the ICU when he suddenly died. Tony died shortly after. News that Philip's mother is now dealing with in the couple's empty home as she's still quarantined.
And that is the isolation chamber grief that accompanies COVID-19. When news of your son's death is barked at you from the sidewalk over the garden gate.
It's very hard. I mean, You know, we had to arrange my other brothers that live in San Antonio to stand outside the house while we tell her the news. And that's the heartbreaking side. We can't go in. My brothers can't go in and comfort her. She's standing in the doorway crying.
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the ages of 42 and 52, respectively, Philip Chai and his husband, Tony Brooks. One hopes God does indeed show up, because nobody else does. Death in hospital is always tough. Death in hospital alone is awful. Philip and Tony would surely envy the final days of Stuart and Adrian Baker, the kind of glowing, healthy retirees you see everywhere in Florida, until late March, when COVID came a-calling for them. He went into hospital first, his wife of 51 years followed soon after, and when it became obvious that there would be no happy ending, their son Buddy Baker, an NFL agent, worked and wheedled to ensure that at least his parents would die together.
The couple had been married for 51 years and were enjoying their retirement in Florida. They bravely fought the coronavirus together for 2 weeks. On Sunday, they died, just 6 minutes apart. Inseparable in life and in death, says their son, Buddy.
We asked that they both be placed in the same room. The nurses there actually took a picture of them holding hands, and they passed just minutes apart from each other.
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus, 6 minutes apart, at the ages of 74 and 72 respectively, with no underlying conditions, Stuart and Adrian Baker. The Mayorgas came from Nicaragua to America in the 80s. Dad worked in a funeral home, Mom as a nanny. Their son, Mario Jr., grew up to become a cleaner at Mount Sinai Medical Center in Miami. A good job, pre-COVID. And then suddenly high risk.
You see, Mayorga and his entire family caught the virus. The 42-year-old worked for a company contracted to clean at Mount Sinai Hospital.
When they got sick, we all got really scared, but we never expected this outcome.
Mario tested positive in mid-March, and a week later, so did his father, mother, and sister.
Mario Sr. died on April 10th. His mother, Esperanza, died April 19th. The couple, who was about to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary, died 9 days apart. Mario Mayorga, the son, lost his battle to COVID-19 on Sunday.
No hug, there's no wiping each other's tears or holding each other's hand. So we're relying on text messages and phone calls to comfort each other.
It's not clear the mother ever knew of the loss of her husband. It's not clear the son ever knew of the loss of both parents. The sole survivor lives alone with the loss of all three.
Mario's sister, Tita, is the only survivor in the family. She's still recovering from COVID-19. Now she has to deal with medical bills and how she's going to pay for burying not just her father, her mother, but now her brother.
Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 72, just a few weeks short of their golden wedding anniversary, Mario and Esperanza Mayorga. Dead of the virus at the age of 42, their son, Mario Mayorga Jr. In the isolation wards of the world's hospitals, God will show up because no one else can get in the room. Not your wife, not your children, not your grandchildren. I'm interested in some of these stories because we're told there'll be a second wave. Maybe in the summer, maybe in the autumn, maybe both. And yet we know so little about the first wave. Odd and troubling, and ultimately more important than how many ventilators are being shipped to which state. God will, yes. It's Super Italo weekend at Vaxi, 90 minutes north of Helsinki, and they have a very international crowd.
We have a Super Italo weekend in Vaxi now. I hear there is a friend in Norway, new friend from Norway, yes? Where is the Holland people? Holland people! Oh, there is the Holland people! They drink very much Kose Korva, they like Kose Korva.
And this somewhat corpulent middle-aged man takes the stage to reprise his breakthrough hit from the 1980s. Albert One sings Turbo Diesel. Bugatti, I saw you in a dream. Volvo, you're running hot like steam. Subaru, or as he sings, Subaru, you start off like an arrow. Volkswagen, you never gave me sorrow. Turbo Diesel, Albert One, born Alberto Carpani, and a big presence on the Italian disco scene from the early 80s to his last major hit, Sing a Song Now Now, number 6 in Spain, but only number 54 in France. When COVID came a-calling, he thought he'd seen it off. On the Saturday, he Instagrammed a picture of himself from his respirator in the Malgheri clinic, surrounded by nurses giving the thumbs up. 2 days later, it was thumbs down. Here's one of his I always liked. Enough with the soppy Barry Manilow balladeering. Here's Mandy, Euro disco star. Another day. They filmed the video in a London strip club with dancers of indeterminate sex. Albert won. Shadows of a man, a face through a window, crying in the night. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 64, Alberto Carpani. Mokbul Hossein was a businessman and a politician. And in Bangladesh, that can sometimes be a problematic combination. The sometime Member of Parliament for the Awami League was sentenced by a special anti-corruption court to 13 years in jail for, quote, accumulating illegal wealth. But happily, the High Court quashed the conviction. Mr. Hossein founded at least 5 universities in Bangladesh, and I confess a certain admiration for his showdown with protesting students outside one of them, the Mokbul Hossein Samorita Medical College. That's Mokbul Hossein ordering the girl students back to their hostel and telling the male students that he's going to blow their heads off. The video went viral, and the Bangladesh Daily Star, used to publish me very occasionally, the Bangladesh Daily Star reported it under the headline Menacing Mokbul. It would be a very bad thing for him to act on his threat to blow their heads off, but I confess, after all the years of watching the pusillanimous poltroons of American academia cave to the cry-bully tactics of their student body, a certain sneaking admiration for the Samarita approach. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 70, Menacing Mokbul Hossein. If you're a Star Wars nerd, and I gather they're almost as numerous as Mark Steyn's show nerds, you'll be familiar with this scene from the original film of Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi arriving in their land speeder at the spaceport of Mos Eisley.
Move along.
I can't abide those Jawas. Disgusting creatures. Go on. I can't understand how we got by those troops. I thought we were dead.
The Force can have a strong influence on the weak-minded.
Although Mos Eisley is a wretched hive of scum and villainy, as Alec Guinness puts it, the arrival of the landspeeder isn't exactly a crucial or memorable scene. But it became so 4 decades after the release of the picture, when a newly revealed behind-the-scenes photograph of the moment caught the fancy of Star Wars world. Not for Luke, not for Obi-Wan, not for C-3PO, but for the bloke holding the boom mic.
Above Luke Skywalker's landspeeder is the boom mic to record the sounds of the heroes on screen. It's who holds this boom mic that has sparked cosplayers and memes throughout the years. Follow the long boom mic pole, and you will see the boom mic operator standing there in the hot sun, doing his job, dressed only in very short and very tight pink shorts. Now that you've seen him, it's very hard to see this scene and not think of the man in pink shorts holding the boom mic above their head.
Well, it was Tunisia, in the desert, and very hot. But standing next to the guy in tighty-tighty-tight pink briefs was George Lucas, and in the picture, he's got his clothes on.
The pink shorts and that body belong to Ken Nightingale. He is now 90 years old and living outside London.
Ken began his career in British film with the 1963 thriller Paranoiac and worked on the sound teams for Alfie, The Boys from Brazil, Supergirl, and a lot of Bond films, Octopussy, For Your Eyes Only, View to a Kill. But his pink shorts in that crew shot made Ken Nightingale a Star Wars star. The fans dubbed him Pink Shorts Boom Guy, and he became a staple character of the cosplay routines at comic conventions. God knows Star Wars is as thoroughly exhausted a seam as one could imagine, so the buff seized gratefully on Ken's pink booty shorts. And for the last 5 years of his life, reenactors of key scenes would be accompanied by a fellow in pink shorts, socks and shoes stalking the actors with a long boom pole over their heads. And a retired sound man suddenly found he was the model for Star Wars action figures and Lego minifigures, although the more punctilious types noticed that not all the merchandise nor all the reenactors took the trouble to have their pink shorts made out of the authentic British terry toweling. Pink Shorts Boom Guy enjoyed his late life fame, but I would like to think it did not alter his and his mate's verdict of Star Wars as they shot it that broiling hot summer over 40 years ago. We thought it was the biggest load of crap we'd ever worked on. Dead of the Chinese coronavirus at the age of 92, Ken Nightingale. Do it for today's show. Stay safe, stay free.
Join us next time for another edition of The Mark Stein Show. Mark Stein Show is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. Rights reserved.